We move on to the best movie villain. This one was very interesting. We had a lot of votes all over the place here for this one. And I mean, when I say all over the place, I do mean all over the place as far as genres of movie and everything that people were picking. This was a pretty open-ended one and kind of shocking in some ways the way that the balloting went. Here's what we had. The ones that received one vote, we had one vote for Darth Maul. We had one vote for Jack Torrance in The Shining. One vote for Agent Smith in The Matrix. Mm-hmm. One for The Wicked Witch. One for Khan, the Ricardo Montalban version. We had one for Hannibal Lecter. We had one for Hans Gruber.
That's a creative pick, by the way.
That is. That's a very creative pick. That's a friend of ours that's very creative that voted that way. One for Joker, the cartoon version. I asked anybody that was voting for the Joker, because we got a lot of Joker votes here, try to separate it if you can and prioritize. One for the cartoon version. One vote for Cody Jarrett and White Heat. One vote for the Joker where he just refused to pick anybody. I'm voting for the Joker. Okay, well, we'll put you down for that then.
he's listening now, by the way.
Okay, hi, Ron.
Plus he likes your hat.
Hey, buddy. All right. Ron wants to vote just for the Joker. That's what we'll do. We'll put it down that way. One vote for John Lithgow in Cliffhanger. Only one vote, Dave. We'll talk about this with you in a moment here. Only one vote for Darth Vader. One vote for John Malkovich in any role. One vote for Gordon Gekko.
I don't think anybody saw Cliffhanger, by the way.
That was a great movie.
That is typical Bob, the guy who voted for Cliffhanger.
Yes.
That is typical Bob. Now I've seen Cliffhanger, and I remember John Lithgow in that movie, and it's probably the only movie he's ever played a bad guy in it, a villain. But that's typical Bob that he would remember that guy.
Yes, and it's great that a lot of the members of the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences know one another. So it's not just me that knows everybody. Some of the other guys know each other, too. So it's funny to see.
By the way, if you're listening, Bob, get rid of catches. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, nice subliminal message there. All right, the ones who received multiple votes but did not win. The one I voted for, Dr. Evil. I'm a huge Austin Powers mark. I had to vote Dr. Evil. He got three votes.
Yep.
Ended up making a better run than I thought he was going to. Two votes for Odd Job, and one of my favorite notes that anybody made on their ballot. One of the two guys that voted for Odd Job, easily the most politically incorrect vote of the night. He voted for simply, quote, what was the name of the movie, Goldfinger?
That was in Goldfinger, yes.
The Chinaman in Goldfinger, end quote. Like, nice.
I don't think he's Chinese in that movie.
I think to the guy who cast the vote, he probably doesn't care.
I'll tell you what, if I had to pick, like, best caddy, I'd pick Odd Job for myself. Yes. I need a caddy like that.
Odd Job did a nice job of that. He was very solid, getting the two votes that we had here tonight. We had additionally from there, as far as who got multiple votes, the Joker, Jack Nicholson version. There were two votes for that Joker, and I think that is everybody who we noted aside from the winner. I believe that is the case.
Yes.
Okay.
And one, two. Did he get through? How many did he get?
Jack Nicholson received...
Oh, Heath Ledger, four, right.
Two, yes. Our winner in this is Heath Ledger with four votes, including the last vote that came in from Puyan here tonight. Four votes for him in this competition. One of the trendier picks, I think, certainly, when you look at the bunch here, when you look at all of the possibilities. He's been on the tip of everybody's tongue for the last 18 months or so. With the personal tragedy, and then B with the performance that everybody regarded as so iconic. But it took that late vote by Puyan, one of our producers here at the network, to win this on the final ballot cast. He wins it 4-3 over Dr. Evil with the final ballot that we received in here. So I voted for Dr. Evil. That was my perspective here. Dave, we talked about this off air. It's a shock. You cast the only vote for Darth Vader. Much like Rocky, very hard to believe Darth Vader only gets a vote.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. John Madden was the other one that I thought was going to be a slam dunk. Again, I wrote down first thing out of my head was Darth Vader. I thought about Hannibal Lecter, which did get a vote. Lord Voldemort from the Harry Potter series. Kaiser Soze from I can't remember the name of the movie now.
That Reservoir Dogs?
No, that's Usual Suspects, actually.
No, I know Kaiser Soze.
Usual Suspects. Wicked Witch of the West, I thought of, which actually got a vote. Good for, who was that? That was a good old Buck.
Goodfellas?
And what about Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life, if you really want to go old school?
Okay,
could go Mr. Potter. But I was just surprised that Vader didn't get anything other than my vote. But
there were a lot of good possibilities there.
There were a lot of good ones. And that, you know what, the good thing, the one thing I can say about this, Rick, is the positive is that you have so many people who are contributing. That's makes it better.
Yeah.
I mean, if you only had three people voting, you're not going to get a nice cross reference of different things and different backgrounds and people thinking about different things. The fact that you had 25 ballots on this, when you actually find a winner, that makes it a little stronger.
It does. It really does. And
you know what? And Dan, that's Usual Suspects.
Usual Suspects. Yeah.
It was. It could have been any number of votes here, and we'll see this on the categories yet to come. There are some yet to come where it was really spread out. Infinitely here, even much more so than on this one, where it did tend to clump between a couple of different choices here. You cast one of the two votes for Odd Job Russ, and to take you off the hook, you are not the person who politically incorrectly referred to him as the Chinaman from Goldfinger. That was not you.
No, he was fun. I mean, I just remember watching him with the hat that basically severed the statue and then eventually killed some people later. Just a real colorful character, a guy you definitely feared as I was probably, 10, 12, 13 years old or something watching that movie. So I thought he was a great character.
Yeah, he really was. It was one of those timeless portrayals and something that just really stuck with people, I think, an awful lot. And unfortunately, it didn't stick with enough people here for him to win the competition tonight. I'll tell you what, we'll go to one more here before we take our next break, and we will raise our Dundee Award posthumously to the Heath Ledger Joker, which is our next winner here, our next inductee.
Yay.
Best movie villain in the FDH Lounge Pantheon. Best pro wrestling manager. And this one was very interesting. We had, as was pointed out, many of the, if not almost all, I should say, almost all of the candidates overlapped significantly through the course of their careers. This next category here, we have a couple of different guys who it tended to be clumped more between a couple of the different individuals involved. Having said that, again, we have coming on with us now another one of our one of our gentlemen who filled out one of our ballots here tonight, and a recent inductee into our extended family here of participants on this program. We are happy to have him on recently on the program, and we are looking forward to doing it again here. And I had received calls from him here on my cell phone. I will first apologize to him. I couldn't take any of them because I was here on the air, so that's why I wasn't able to pick up. But this next one that we have coming in, it's a very special thing to be able to bring on this gentleman. We had, as I said, a lot of fun with him the previous time that he was on the program, and we definitely wanted to do this again here sometime soon. Glad to have on Adam Buckman from TV Week on
the
program with us here. So, Adam,
hello.
Good to have you on. And as I say, apologies here that I wasn't able to pick up, but I'm glad we got you on the air here with us here tonight.
Well,
how you
know,
doing,
the introduction,
Adam?
You give me is so nice. How could I resist calling you?
We were glad to get a ballot back. It's nice to have one of our recent guests who we now consider to be one of the family here.
Well, it's a very homey atmosphere you conjure over there.
It's a lot of fun.
Rick, can you get the volume up a little bit? It's hard for me to hear you.
Okay. All right. We'll try to crank that for you, Adam. It's a fun vibe. You fit in very well with us here. This next one Might be kind of an armchair thing here for you, because this is one where you didn't have a preference in this category, but we will attack this one here.
Well, yeah, my thing is, some of the questions, you know, I just didn't feel qualified. You know
okay.
what I mean?
Okay, well, everybody's qualified to whatever degree, Adam. There's no IQ test in any of these categories, and you know, Dave could probably come up with a punchline for that. Huh?
Yeah, I could, but okay. I'll be nice to you.
Thank you. And that would deserve the bell if I could find it right
yes.
now.
Yes, we're the maracas.
Yes,
quick.
The reach maracas, yes.
Yes.
All right, best pro wrestling manager was our next category here.
And are there people who really have strong opinions about this?
Shockingly, Adam, yes, there are.
Yeah, you're looking at one right across from me, actually.
Right. I do, too.
You know.
Okay. Yes, yes. And our good buddy Russ Cohen on the phone lines from Sportsology and Wrestleology, if that gives a hint.
Well, sure, he probably has strong opinions on that.
Yes, on his qualifications to speak on this. Only a handful of people only got one vote in this category. One vote for the legendary Precious Paul Ellering from back in the day with the Road Warriors. We had one vote for Miss Elizabeth, one vote for Vince McMahon, who, if you look back at the corporation era WWF, would count in that managerial role, I suppose, to a varying extent. Everybody else got more than one vote in this category. There were one, two, three votes for Mr. Rubberband himself, Captain Lou Albano. Including Russ, who voted for him. So Russ will have some thoughts on that, I'm sure. The Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, he put up a respectable late run here. He had five votes in this category and ended up coming very, very, very close. I'm looking to see who else had multiple votes here, and I think that is it.
Yeah, that's
incredible.
It.
Our winner in this one with one, two, three, four, five, six, seven votes. Most of his votes came in early. He built up a lead. He withstood the late rush from Jimmy Hart in the balloting here. The one and only Bobby the Brain Heenan. I wanted to vote for somebody, and Belfi shamed me out of it here. One of our recent guests on the show, J.J. Dillon. I wanted to vote for him, A, to suck up, but B, because I love J.J. too. But as Belfi pointed out, J.J. Dillon himself said Bobby the Brain Heenan was the best. So there's
well,
my
Rick,
justification.
Can I ask you something? I mean, what's the criteria, do you think, for picking this category? What are you
loud,
looking for?
Loud, obnoxious, let's see, what else?
Colorful, you know.
Colorful, certainly.
Adam, shall I be a real mark and say win-loss record?
Was there somebody actually keeping track of those records somewhere out there? I'm sure there was.
There are. There are folks from the different sites who do that. I voted for the Brain. He had the anchor stable in the WWF in the 1980s, even if it wasn't on a par in that company with the Four Horsemen and the other major TV company of the late 1980s. Bobby Heenan, again, had it going on, voted for him. Russ, you voted for Captain Lou Albano here. You're an old school guy. Lou Albano was out of it by about halfway through that major run in the 1980s. Most of his career preceded that, of course.
Yeah, I think he was the guy that really forged that role for the new type manager that was a little crazy, that would take an occasional bump because he was a championship wrestler in his own right back in the day. So he was pretty good still, even when he got in the ring, would cause a lot of ruckus. You know, he had the whole Cyndi Lauper thing happening. Crazy guy with rubber bands in his face. Who would put rubber bands in their face like that? Could rant with the best of them. Sometimes you didn't even understand what he was saying. I mean, I had a chance to interview him a couple years ago, and some of the things he was saying, I had no clue what he was talking about because he was talking so fast. But a great character. I mean, I've interviewed Heenan, too, and I really like Heenan. I just think overall, you know, Heenan couldn't really do much in the ring. Lou could do it all.
He was quite a trailblazer.
Inside the ring, outside the ring.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you guys are right. I mean, they both were quite a sight outside of there here. Dave, you also, as I look at this is very interesting, you also cast a vote for Captain Lou.
I would say I did because in the prime time of my wrestling observation on TV, he was probably the most prominent wrestling manager out there. And I remember him and Cyndi Lauper and that whole
era,
I guess. So that's pretty much and he was successful. You know, he had quite a few I think we talked about last week. A ton of tag team champions.
Like 15.
Yeah.
The Valiant Brothers, the Samoans.
And you know, the other thing is he had multiple clients at the same time. It wasn't just, you know, one tag team or one individual at the same time and then just kept moving around. He had multiple clients at the same time. So that was good.
Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo.
And he's the voice of Super Mario in the cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah, it was there was a lot of colorful stuff going on there. I don't even know. Adam, have we elucidated you any as to what the thought process would be for this category?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're talking about it pioneering and trailblazing.
Yes, with
and
a little
with
hallucinogens
the
on the side.
Yes,
I think.
Yes, and I'll tell you what too. Since Mario was referenced there here too, before we go to break. Let's just take a spin around this one here. Best video game non-sports, by the way, as we raise our Dundee Award to our the pro wrestling manager joining the Pantheon tonight, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yay.
So
hooray.
He goes in there. Best video game non-sports. We had a boatload of entrants here with just one vote apiece. There were a lot of them here. We had one vote for Duke Nukem. One for Mario Kart Wii, which somebody, one of the other voters told me I should have disallowed because it's technically a sports game, which I guess it probably is. I think there was only, there was only one vote for Guitar Hero, shockingly enough. We had votes for some old school games here. One vote for Pac-Man. One vote for Star Wars Trilogy. One vote for Super Mario. One vote for Twisted Metal 2, one for Bionic Commando. We had one, was it only one? Yes, one vote for Asteroids. We had, I think this is two, okay, two for that one. One vote for Doom. I told you this was all over the place. One for Rainbow Six Vegas, which I've never even heard of. So, some of these I have very little familiarity with, but that one I've never heard of. One for Civilization. One for Tetris. Kind of shocking that we only got one vote. One for Mass Effect and one for Halo. So these were just all over the place here. As far as any of the ones that got multiple votes here, it might be shocking to know that there were two votes for Galaga. Galaga actually came close in this thing.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
A game that was fairly obscure in its own time. It was definitely second tier as far as what people were into at the time.
Yes.
One of the ones that it was behind was the iconic first big one on the scene in the arcades, Space Invaders. Space Invaders purely on the nostalgia vote, garnering two votes here. The winner in the end, and one of the only ones that I voted for as far as winners go, garnering four votes here, Grand Theft Auto. Just because for sheer degenerate pleasure, there are few games anywhere.
Well, you really put it the right way on
yeah.
that one.
You know what? Are they going to steal that and put it on the box next time, Adam? That's what they should go with right there for the marketing.
Well, it'd be nice to see that. It'd be nice to see you quoted on a box, even one as loathsome as that one.
It is. It has no social redeeming quality whatsoever.
No, frankly, few things do these days.
That's why I enjoy it so. Grand Theft Auto got my vote and was the winner. But in going around here to the other votes that were cast among the folks here, Russ, start with you. You cast the vote for Duke Nukem, so speak on that, please.
Yeah, I think back in the day I was in the video game business for a short time, and Duke Nukem, believe it or not, was just huge, and that was when computers were just coming on the scene and consoles were sort of taking a back seat for a little while. It was a short time that happened, and everybody in the world was playing Duke Nukem at their computer. It was easy to play. It was fun. Everybody liked the killing aspect. I just thought that one was one that was universally accepted.
Yeah, it was. It had a lot of pleasure to it as well, no question about it. Dave, in looking at your ballot here on the spreadsheet, you cast a vote for Civilization. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's more or less a, kind of a game that is. There's not a lot of interaction between another person. It's just pretty much you. But I wouldn't say it's called fast acting. But the other ones on here, I really haven't had, other than the old school ones, like Galaga, Pac-Man, Super Mario, Space Invaders. I haven't had a lot of Asteroids. Haven't had a lot of experience with. Probably the most recent one I have had experience with is Doom.
Yeah.
Everything else more recently, just gotten away with from the video game. So...
Doom, yeah, kind of funny. You know, Halo got a vote, too. It really is kind of funny, Adam. You happen to come along here tonight at some might call it our trough here, our least socially redeeming categories here of the evening. If I were capable of being chagrined, which I'm not, I guess I would be right now.
You mean that I came along when you were doing Best Pro Wrestling Manager?
Yes, Best Pro Wrestling Manager.
Hey, to each his own.
Best
in there for Best Musical Guilty Pleasure and Best Non-U.S. City and all that stuff.
Well, it's getting better, as you can tell.
Well, you know what? Let's knock off the, I keep saying this, let's knock off the last one here before break. This one's going to be quick because it's not going to go to a tiebreaker. We will lift the Dundee Award for the next inductee into the Pantheon here, Grand Theft Auto, the best video game non-sports, winning here tonight. Best Musical Guilty Pleasure. This was our most spread out category of the night. Only one entrant into this got two votes and is thus the winner with the least amount of votes here tonight. The other ones that did not win but captured a single vote, and these are some of these. The descriptions are awesome. The first one, Russ voted for Elton John. We'll get his thoughts on that. This other one, this one from my brother, which was just, as he said, singing aloud to Boston, which I happen to like that. One vote for the Eli Young Band. Nobody had to say that. No, nobody said that these were ones that the rest of us had to have heard of, I guess. One for Justin Timberlake. One for Christopher Cross. I can go along with that. One for Debbie Gibson.
Uh-huh.
One for Barry Manilow. One for Sade. One for Thelma Houston. Don't Leave Me. I think that's the description it was given for. Yeah, Don't Leave Me. One for Andy Samberg and Credibad. One for the musical of Mamma Mia.
That was me, I think.
That was you, Adam, and we'll have to get your thoughts on that one. One for America's Got Talent, which I think was broadly defined as a musical guilty pleasure.
That's more like the Gong Show of the 2000s.
Yeah,
but
actually, whoa, okay. Holy crap, I spoke too soon. We do have two votes here for one of these ones, so it's going to have to go to a tiebreaker.
Oh,
we'll get back to that. We do, yeah. One for Blondie, Heart of Glass. One for Journey, Any Way You Want It. One for, and I love this one, Dave's wife, actually, with this vote here. One for the Phil Collins In the Air Tonight air drum solo.
that was probably one of her best votes, yeah. Isn't that good?
As I pantomime it here, yes. One for the entire genre of country music, and one for the producers. Again, going with the strict definition of a musical here, which you could take this one any way you wanted it. There's the two ones that got two votes here. There were two votes apiece for ABBA, and there were two votes apiece for Neil Diamond. So that's going to have to be settled on the second place ballots here. We'll start with you here, Adam. You didn't vote for ABBA per se, but you voted for the Mamma Mia musical, which I haven't seen.
Well, I guess, like you say, sometimes the categories are open to interpretation.
Yes.
And I didn't interpret it as you were asking for a musical.
Okay.
Although it happened to be one.
Oh, all right.
To me, it happened to be something that, you know, sort of a collection of music that ordinarily I wouldn't either admit or like generally anyway. But for some reason, and you know, and I answered this, when I came up with my answers to the ones that I did answer, you know, I try to do sort of first thing that pops into my head kind of thing.
Okay.
Because I find that works for me. Now, I didn't do it in every case, but this popped into my head. It was a very happy musical. I didn't see the musical on Broadway. It's still playing, but I happen to like the movie. So kill me, you know.
Okay.
it's a very happy, very bubbly musical. I had a good time seeing it, and it's not the kind of thing I would like ordinarily.
I'd like to see it. I openly enjoy ABBA. I'm one of the few guys who will cop to that. And
you see, that's the thing. I can't say that I especially like ABBA.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of liked. It happened to be a movie musical.
Okay.
But and I happen to like it. Now, could I listen to actually ABBA's versions of those songs? Well, not really. I mean, I think watching Pierce Brosnan sing S.O.S. was one of the highlights of movies last year. And it was really hysterical. So, you know, he was having a guilty pleasure himself, probably.
I really, really, really need to see that. Russ, you voted for Elton John. Illuminate us, please.
Yeah, I'm going to illuminate you, and then I got to run.
Okay.
First thing I would say is everybody has his first greatest hits in their collection. If they don't, they didn't join Columbia House or anything else in the day. Captain Fantastic, everybody had that in my neighborhood. Crocodile Rock was one of the first songs I remember really liking on the radio. Yeah, I know he's a little poppy, but he still was an old-school rocker that would, you know, basically pass out in his vomit back in the day, and I give him credit. He's still going strong.
Okay. Russ, before we let you go, second-place ballad. What would be your second greatest musical guilty pleasure of all time?
What were the choices again? I forget.
Anything. You don't have to vote for. You don't have to go between ABBA and Neil Diamond, although you could.
Okay, I'll go Journey any way you want it. That's
Journey.
Fine.
All right. Well, that's the second vote for that one. So we now have three that are in that
mix
here. Before we get to the tiebreaker, Dave, you voted for. You were the other vote for Journey any way you want it.
Yeah, okay. I like Journey in general, but if I had to vote for something second, I probably would have to go off of ABBA and Neil Diamond and go to the In the Air Tonight drum solo.
Okay. All right, so another vote for the drum solo. Okay, wow, this is all right, it's second ballot time here. So, Adam, it's what? Let's start with you. What would be your second greatest?
Okay, which ones are tied again? I think you need one of these auditors from a big accounting company to deal with these votes.
We need that here. Yeah, you can vote for anything you want to vote for as far as your second place ballot. What's the second one that pops into your mind?
But don't you want it to be one of the ones that's tied?
It doesn't have to be necessarily. I have a sense that I may be breaking the tie. But anyways, the third tiebreaker falls to whoever is on line one, or in your case, line two. So right now, vote your conscience, and then we'll ask you for a zero-sum vote if it comes to that. But I think it probably won't.
I'm not coming up with one.
Okay, all right, so you're going to defer. Okay, I'm going to break the tie. I got to go to the drum solo myself. That's going to win.
I don't know if I'm familiar with this drum solo.
Phil Collins in the Air Tonight. I guess it's late in the song, part of an instrumental bridge.
And he was a drummer and so on.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That is, wow, with only one vote.
Maybe we should play that on the way out to our break.
Exactly.
If we can find that.
If we have.
Or are we not allowed to play that?
Hey, who's going to know?
Sorry.
Oh, the first thing they'll do is
never
send you a
mind, Dave.
The first thing I'll do is send you a cease and desist letter.
You sound like you're speaking from experience.
I certainly am.
You'll get a little email from Belfie. Don't play that. Yeah. Don't play it.
Hey, Belfie will be egging us on to play it, I think. But anyways, that wins. So we hold up our Dundee Award for the In the Air Tonight drum solo by Phil Collins for Best Musical Guilty Pleasure.